Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Yeah, that too.
When I walked in, the yes. service was just letting out.
Okay. Yeah. It's a great service.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did too.
In our previous sessions, in the last few sessions, we've talked about the spiritual realm. We've talked about the human spirit. Uh-huh. We've talked about our spiritual senses,
yeah.
which are senses of our spirits. We talked about our interaction with God, and we also talked about our interaction with other humans on the spiritual level. And today we're going to examine scriptures that are relevant to our interaction with angels. This is going to be, let me tell you up front, this is a very limited study. I want us to stay on track because there's a lot we could talk about, angelology. If you want to learn more about this, I encourage you to get some books. There are lots of books out there on angels, angelology, and so forth. We're going to focus on a very limited aspect.
Didn't Billy Graham have a book on angels?
Very possibly, yes.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
But since our theme is being aware of the spiritual realm and operating in the spiritual realm, we're going to focus today on our interaction with angels. Let me give you some definitions that are on your worksheets there to begin with. The Greek word that's translated angel is angelos, which means messenger. In fact, that's the origin of our English word angel. The Hebrew word translated angel is pronounced something like malach. That also means messenger. I'm probably mutilating the original languages here, but you know, we speak English. I don't know. But that word also means messenger. Do you see a pattern here?
Yes.
Both words mean what?
Messenger.
Messenger. Okay, so the primary role of angels, from our perspective, is to serve as messengers. I want giving you a brief list there of angels' functions so we know what to expect when we see one. Hebrews 1, that was intentional, yes. Hebrews 1:14 reads, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?"
Ooh.
So what is a primary role of angels here?
Sent to serve the Christians.
To minister to whom?
Christians.
To us, the Christians, the saints, that's right. Well, as we've seen by looking at the original language, what the original language words mean, their primary role is to be as a messenger. That is a primary function they fulfill in serving us, is to provide, is to be a messenger. Now, so when an angel comes to us with a message, it's not a matter of us obeying what the angel says, okay? Because they're simply the messengers. It's a matter of obeying what God says through them. When they come, they deliver God's message. We're not obeying them. We're responding to what God says through them. Several other functions that I've listed there, they execute God's will in heaven and on earth. They praise, reverence, and obey God. They announce important events. They deliver warnings and judgment. They give interpretations of dreams and visions. They guide and instruct people. They guard and defend them. They minister to those in need, and they engage in warfare with other spiritual beings, including fallen angels. That's a pretty good list of responsibilities, don't you think?
Yeah.
Those are the functions that we see angels performing in Scripture. I'm certain there are other functions that aren't described in Scripture, but these are the ones we see, and these are the ones we need, therefore these are the ones we need to focus on.
I didn't know they gave an interpretation of dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm. They do. The book of Daniel, for example, Daniel had these visions and dreams, and he was puzzled by it for days. And in some cases, he was deeply disturbed about it, and finally God dispatched an angel to him to explain what the things were about.
Whoa.
So, next point, angels are submitted to us, are submitted to God, not to us. They get their orders where?
From God,
and they are there to perform His will, right? They report to Him. So, angels are not submitted to us. We can't order them around as we see fit, okay? They're God's messengers, and they deliver His messages to us. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:3 there on your worksheet. It says, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" Now, people sometimes use this verse to justify trying to exercise authority over angels. But I'd like to point out something. Look at the grammatical tense in that. Is that?
It's a question.
It's future, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's future tense.
Future.
It's future tense. Does this verse imply that we will judge angels? Yes, but in the future. after, as it turns out, after we are seated on the throne with Jesus in heaven, okay? I didn't give it to verse 2 in your worksheet, but verse 2 says something very similar. It says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do we judge the world now?
No.
Yeah, we're not judged. Well, no, I don't mean in a bad way, but didn't Jesus say, you go and you deliver the message, and if they won't receive you, believe it and shake off the dust of your feet on that city. It would be better than for them to start.
That is an act of judgment, yes. But in general, do we judge the world now?
No.
But when you say we don't have authority over, we do have authority over fallen.
Having authority over our domain is different from judging the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew different.
Good question.
The world, but we're talking about authority over angels.
Right. Well, to the extent that these fallen angels and demons and so forth affect our domain, then we exercise authority over them. Okay. Because we have authority over our domain. Okay. Good questions, good perspectives, but it's not a matter of us judging the world now. Okay. Likewise, in the same way, we do not judge angels now. And we do not exercise authority over them. Angels are currently only submitted to God, not us. Likewise, we are submitted to God, not to angels. Again, angels are messengers. It's like a delivery boy coming in and handing you a handwritten message from your boss, okay? You're not obeying the messenger. You're responding to what the boss said in his note, right? Okay, it's the same kind of thing here. All right. That was just kind of background to kind of get us on track here, okay? Again, there are lots of things we could talk about angels, but that's not our topic this morning. The first item here of significance that we're going to spend some time on is angels can seem non-human, or they can seem semi-human, if you will. Okay? Look at Ezekiel 40, verse 3. I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. Now, the word man here is the Hebrew word ish, and it means a mature adult male. It can mean a husband, or it can mean a human, either male or female. So what does the use of the word ish, or man, in this verse imply? I saw a man whose appearance was. What does his use of the word man imply here? Look like a man? In the image, the shape, the appearance of a human, a man. Mm-hmm. Possibly the general shape, maybe the features of a human. Now look at the word bronze here. This word is the literal metallic alloy of copper and tin, okay? This is the literal metallic alloy it's talking about here. And it's similar to brass in appearance. This is definitely not a human color or luster, is it?
No.
Okay, so based on his bronze appearance, was this a literal man?
No.
No. This being looked similar to a man, but it clearly was not a human, not a man. Now look at Daniel 10, verses 5 through 7. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face was like lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and legs like a gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves.
Talking about Jesus?
No. Up here he's talking about, he says, there before me was a man. It's the same Hebrew word that's used in the previous verse, ish, and it means a human. It means a mature adult male, a husband, a human, either male or female. But look at how it describes him. It says his body was like glassy, like a glassy mineral, a chrysolite. What does that suggest? I'm sorry?
Translucence.
Translucence, yes, exactly. Probably a luminescence or transparency, translucence. Mm-hmm. His face was like what?
Lightning.
What mental image does that form for you? What does his face look like?
Shining, bright.
Shining, bright, maybe flashing, penetrating, overwhelming brightness, right? And his eyes were like flaming torches. What does that suggest?
Flickering.
Energy, powerful. You see power emanating from through his eyes, okay? His arms and legs gleamed like burnished bronze. That's similar to the other vision we saw here in Ezekiel. His voice sounded like that of a multitude of people. What does that suggest? Loud.
Like she said, commanding.
Commanding, powerful, right?
Or a shout.
Have you, when you've been to a football game, and somebody down there on the grass made a touchdown, what kind of sound do you hear?
Roar, that's right.
Overwhelming roar, right? Like a multitude. I'm sensing this is a very dynamic, powerful voice this being has here. So was this a literal man? It was not a literal man, was it? Well, I'm not going to go that far, because it doesn't say it was. Okay? And I suspect if Jesus shows up, it's not going to just make some general reference to some being, okay? So this being looked similar to a man, but clearly was not a human, right? Now the passage states that this was a vision, and that the other people present didn't see this vision. Do you see that? But the other people did respond. They sensed something that terrified them so much they ran away and hid themselves. I don't see it, but there's something here, and I don't like it, I'm leaving. You know, it's that kind of thing. So the question I have here, we're talking about our spirituality, our spiritual senses, and so forth. So how is seeing a vision related to spiritual senses? Mm-hmm. He saw a vision. How does that relate to spiritual senses? Physical eyes or spiritual eyes?
Spiritual eyes, both.
This is a vision is primarily, usually, a spiritual function.
The eyes of your heart to be enlightened.
Right. Is it also possible for your human eyes, your physical eyes, to see a vision?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I contend that originally Adam's eyes were able to see in both realms, physical eyes, but also spiritual eyes. Yeah, you can see with both. However, when you see a vision, probably is your spiritual eyes functioning. Okay? May be your physical eyes. Either way. It can happen either way. Conclusions we have here: angels can appear similar to a human, but clearly not be human. Right? And angels can appear to us in visions, which come to us primarily or initially through our spiritual senses. Angels can also seem human. Let me give you background to this incident I'm about to describe here. Remember the story from Genesis where the Lord and two angels visited Abraham and they told him that they were going to destroy Sodom? That's the incident that includes the famous interaction between Abraham and God. Do you remember the statements like, will you destroy the city if there are only fill-in-the-blank righteous people? You know, he started off with a high number and kept working down. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the two angels went to Sodom, and they told Lot to gather his family and flee to the mountains. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Now, Genesis 19, verses 15 to 16, it reads, "With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot." They urged him to gather his family and leave. "And when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city." Notice, these verses describe these beings as both angels and men. The first reference says the angels urged Lot. The second reference says the men grasped his hand. The same beings. One place it says they're angels, the other place it says it's men. They physically grasped Lot and his family and led them out by the hand. Were these angels a vision or were they tangible?
Tangible.
If we were to examine the whole incident, including the interaction with Abraham and the interaction with Lot and so forth, we see several things. I've listed them there on your worksheet. They had feet that could be washed. Okay, their bodies could rest, although that really wasn't necessary for spiritual beings to rest. They had mouths and stomachs with which to eat food. And they had legs on which to stand. And their bodies were sufficiently like humans that the men of the town desired to have them for the purpose of homosexuality. Yet these were angels, according to chapter 19, verses 1 and 15, that had taken tangible human form. Now look at Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. How can someone interact with an angel and not know it? Not know that they're an angel?
We don't know.
Why do we not know? I mean, you're interacting with someone or something, mm-hmm. and you don't realize it's an angel you're interacting with. How can you not know?
It's in human form.
The human form, they look like humans, they sound and look and even smell like humans. They might even
spiritual senses during that moment. Because if I'm open spiritually, and you know, and the think about those two men who flee just from the mere presence.
Yes.
You know, and but so that implies that they have the power to turn it on, and turn it off, or we're not open.
I think that is exactly what we're talking
about
here. I think that Mary's touched on an important point here. They can present themselves in various ways. Okay? Keep that in mind.
They would matter because Abraham saw God and the two angels from afar off and knew who it was.
Yeah.
Well, possibly. The scripture tells us that they eventually did know they were angels or describes them as angels. But whether Abraham really knew that, it doesn't specifically state that.
Did he see him afar off?
That was the culture of the time, okay? He's out in the boonies, so to speak, and that was the culture. When somebody comes and approaches you, you become the ultra host, okay? You stop whatever you're doing, you provide for their needs, you wash their feet, you feed them food, give them a place to drink, set them down so they can rest, put them in the shade where they can be comfortable. I mean, you become the ultra host. That was the culture, all right?
If they didn't know it before, he didn't know it before, when they'd eaten, wouldn't that where they said they went up in a cloud of flame of fire?
Not in that incident, no.
No, it
says it says the angels simply walked away, but Abraham stopped and talked to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, I'm pretty sure he knew who he was talking to at that point.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the Lord like a man. You know how we're talking about mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There are times when the scripture uses the word man, Hebrew word ish, to describe the Lord when he appears. And it's what we call a theophany, where God appears as a human. Okay?
How do you spell that word?
a God appearance, okay? He looked like a human. All right. So, where are we? It's not something that we turn on and off. We're talking about the angels presenting themselves.
The angels presenting themselves, but then also I think that, you know, God just, just the verses we worked with this morning, it wasn't either who knew it, but God that allowed them to know it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There is an issue in which we can, yes, I think there is a sense in which we can turn our spiritual senses on or off. We can pay attention to them or ignore them, okay? But we're talking about something different here, where angels are presenting themselves in a form that's appropriate to the situation.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh. Yes. For that situation.
Yes. They can present themselves. And that is characteristic of other spiritual beings as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry, I know one incident where a young lady, you know, was in a car wreck mm-hmm. in the woods. And a man was standing there with a flashlight and helped her out of the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in that moment, she said, I felt safe. I felt comfortable. So that was probably spiritual eyes telling her it was okay. How many people are going to get out in the woods at 18 with some strange man? But it wasn't, this is an angel, I need to follow it. It was, you know, more a comfort feeling at the moment.
So yes.
How, like you said, they present themselves, what they're meant to do, what their message for the moment is. And for her, that was safety. Let me help you out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that varies.
Yeah.
It does. Okay, let's move along, okay?
Uh-huh.
Time is, so we need to also. No, that's okay. We can stop. It'd be fun to stop and talk about a lot of these things, but we have a specific objective this morning, okay? That's where I'm zeroing in on it. This is fun, but we need to stay focused here. I've forgotten where we are, but the point is, if you, angels can look totally human, and they can be indistinguishable from a human. Sometimes we can sense angels with our physical senses, okay? Now, angels can become tangible. As we mentioned a while ago, I think it was Mary mentioned, they can present themselves in different ways. Genesis 19:16, we looked at in the previous section, there showed that two angels were tangible. They could grasp people's hands and lead them out of town, okay? Now look at 1 Kings 19, verses 5 and 6. Some little background here. Elijah had run for his life. He was totally exhausted. He laid down and fell asleep. All right? Here he is, sound asleep on the ground. And the verses say, all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. Now, what does the fact that the angel touched Elijah and woke him up tell us about the angel?
He could have hands and he could...
He was tangible, right? Mm-hmm. He was took physical form. Elijah could feel him.
Yes.
All right, look at Acts 12, verse 7. Peter's asleep in jail. He's bound with chains. And the jails typically were dark then. They didn't pay a lot of money for lights to light up a jail for somebody, you know. That was part of their punishment, to be in the dark. So here's Peter asleep in this jail, bound with chains. And verse 7 says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. I don't know how this strikes you, pun intended. But this is funny to me. This angel struck Peter on the side to wake him up. Now, the word struck there is a Greek word that means to strike a blow, to hit with a hand, fist, or weapon. It also means to beat, as in to beat somebody up. It also can mean to strike down with the intent of killing them. So this is not a gentle shaking. Oh, Peter, wake up now. We need to go bye-bye. You know? It wasn't a gentle shaking him.
Peter was a deep sleeper.
Peter was a deep sleeper, yeah.
Deep sleeper.
Well, even at that, you know. This word here is very strong. It's a very powerful word. This is not a nudge or a tap, okay? He smacked Peter and said, quick, get up, you know. And Peter woke up and the angel's lighting up a cell, you know. And suddenly the chains have fallen off him. And we're going to find out a little bit later, he thinks he's dreaming, okay? Look at verses 8 and 9. The angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. And the angel said, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. So the angel led Peter past the jail guards. Now I want to remind you, guards in jails guarded their prisoners with their lives. Yeah. I mean, if they allowed a prisoner to escape, they died. Right?
Yeah.
Because they disobeyed, they didn't fulfill their obligation. So for this angel to lead Peter out past the guards was a big deal. All right? And the angel led him outside, and the city gate opened by itself, and they walked in. The jail was outside the city, and they walked towards the city. The city gate opened up by itself, which it doesn't do. But the gate opened up by itself, and they walked into the city. Now look at verses 10 and 11. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me. Up to that point, he thought he was seeing a vision.
He had seen some pretty powerful visions. So
he had seen some pretty powerful visions, yes. Yeah. Several come to mind, for example, you know, a sheet lowering, animals in the sky and so forth. Yeah. So was his escape a vision or a physical experience?
Physical experience.
He actually escaped from jail, right?
Yeah.
Was the angel a vision or tangible?
Tangible.
Larry, I think it's possible here that the angel took him into the spirit realm. And that's why the chains fell off his head. That's why they were let pass. That's why he didn't know that he regained his physical sense. But this is the physical.
Is it possible? It's entirely possible. Is it possible, however, to bring supernatural powers into the physical realm?
Yes.
Either way. The point is, this ultimately was a physical experience, was it not? Yeah, the angel woke him up. I mean, with a strong blow. I still think it's funny. Yeah. I'm sorry. Not that I feel.
Angel's like, man, I had to get off my angel sofa and come.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Wake up, man. I'm out of here. We can't get this over fast enough, right? Well, we have some... I'm sorry? Yes. It says that he led him out of the jail past the guards, so they were in the physical domain, okay? It also said, as they approached the city, the gate opened by itself and they walked into the city. They physically experienced that, yes.
And generally, during that time, they shut the gates and locked them at night.
Oh, yeah. The gates would be closed at night for security purposes. Notice that the jail with the prisoners, the criminals, is outside the city, okay? So they were in double security there. They were locked into the jail, and also they were locked out of the city.
Well, that's what makes it easy to think that it was in a spiritual sense. And then he was brought back into the physical realm because those guards would have given their life. Those doors would not have been open. Mm-hmm.
But is it possible for those...
With no issue.
But I think maybe God can, you know, God used to put that guard to sleep or don't sleep,
yeah,
you know,
right,
he used his
power.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All the soldiers were frozen while they walked in with the two men or two witnesses from there. But what,
yep,
I mean, God can do anything he wants.
Yeah. Well, you might recall that when the women went to Jesus' tomb the next morning. Where was it? Where was it? It somewhere in that description about the tomb scenario, it says the soldiers stood paralyzed in fear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably because of the presence of an angel.
Right.
Julian?
There are a number of Christians and Buddhists that do not like to entertain the thought that God can work supernaturally in the physical realm.
Yes.
Because it is occult and so forth.
That's right.
He was Jesus, of course. You know,
yes.
Ministered by the power of the devil and so forth.
Yeah.
Said, is a house divided against itself?
No.
Right.
Of course, anyways, I'm so thankful that God does work in the physical.
Physical,
realm,
yes.
Supernatural.
And he does. He's Lord of all. And that includes my physical situation, right? So, again, I want to keep moving forward here. the conclusions we have here are, for one thing, angels can appear in semi-human form or in totally human form, right? They can look like a human, but not, it's clear they're not a human. It's also possible they can be in totally human form and we would interact with them not even realizing they're angels, okay? So they can appear in semi-human form or in total human form. Angels can also appear as a vision or they can assume tangible form. You okay with that?
I have a question.
Yes.
Non-Christians can see angels at times, can't they?
If God wants them to, if it's important for their mission, yes.
Because I remember Joyce Myers talking about somebody in her congregation that man came with his wife. He didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And he started getting upset and his wife couldn't understand what was going on. And he said, there are these soldiers guarding her on both sides. And
right.
He became a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, and then it counts to people not committing a crime because they saw angels guarding them.
Or guarding a missionary's house.
Yes. I know of an example of someone we knew in another state, very attractive young woman who was walking down the street by herself and approached a group of guys. And as they approached, the guys kind of stood back and let her walk through. And sometime later, they discovered, talking to one of those guys, said, who are those people with you? They were bad. they were really bad. So angels can appear in tangible form. They can appear to anybody,
uh-huh,
depending on the purpose of their mission. We can detect angels either with our spiritual or physical senses. I think those are some conclusions we're coming to here. It's helpful for us to be aware of these possibilities so we understand what's happening when we see an angel. I would like for you to join up with the person nearby. Take hands or put your hands on their shoulders. I'd like for everybody to be engaged in this process here. I'd like for you to make contact with somebody, and I'd like for you to pray out loud for that person's spiritual senses to be improved and energized. I want you to pray as intensely for them as you would want somebody to pray for you. Pray for them right now, out loud, please, that their spiritual senses would be improved and energized. Go for it. Activate their spiritual senses, Father. Activate their senses. Empower them, Father, to see the spiritual realm. Empower them, Father. Holy Spirit, move upon us. These are your people. Turn on their spiritual senses. Activate their spirits. Let them become fully alive in their spirits. Hallelujah. Father, energize Kathy. Turn her spirit on. May she be sensitive to the spiritual realm. May she see and feel and hear and taste and smell from the spiritual realm. Father, activate her senses, her spiritual senses, so that she can see and detect the spiritual realm and know what you are doing. Father, bless her. Overcome every boundary that she's encountered, every hurdle she thinks she has to overcome. Father, knock them down. Activate her spirits now so that she can sense the spiritual realm and be confident of what you're doing in her life. Lord, Holy Spirit, does anyone sense anything unusual?
He's on your back side. He's just has his hand right there on your back. There's a couple of them over here next to these guys, because they're with you all the time. Just finished praying to you about some of the things that you're going through, and they're also watching over you and protecting you in the situation that you're going through.
Do you believe it's possible that you have angels assigned to you all the time?
Yes.
Is it possible that, depending on your circumstances, that God may assign additional angels to you, specialized angels, specialty angels, whatever the need calls for, whatever the situation calls for?
Or angels of comfort. Maybe.
Whatever. Comfort, combat, insight, you know, whatever. God dispatches his angels according to your situation.
Amen.
Do you realize that your angel came with you this morning?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do you realize that God has been speaking to me about this session this morning all week, and that for the last several days I have been asking that he would reveal angels to us in this class session? Do you sense anything?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just talking about emotions here. I'm not talking about intellect. I'm talking about spiritual sensations, sensing a presence, possibly seeing something, maybe hearing or feeling, smelling something. There have been times when I've been standing up here and I could... there was somebody standing next to me, but there was nobody there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this kind of thing. You don't have to see. I almost expected an angel to walk in human form this morning. I was suggesting that as an option to the Father when I was praying this week. You know, you could do that, you know. I recognize all of you, so I don't think you're angels.
Behind you, it's like there's
but,
a warring angel.
You know, you last night I went to see that movie, What If?
Yes.
And, you know, he's talking about the angels, about in the movie, you know, Christian. And I really enjoyed it, you know. I wish you guys go see it. But it was an angel working with a guy, you know. And during the movie, you can see how God works.
Mm-hmm. It's a matter of us choosing to see in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
It's a matter of deciding that it's possible and that you're going to. Mm-hmm. Okay? For us to become more effective, we are spiritual beings. We exist in the spiritual realm. We are functional in the spiritual realm, and we do interact with other spiritual beings. That's the purpose of this whole overlying theme here.
What did you say? It's a matter of choosing to...
Yes, we need to decide to see and to sense the spiritual realm. Because you see, if we say, I'm not going to, I'm focused, I'm busy, you know, preoccupied or whatever, you are empowering your flesh. You've shut down your spirit. It's a matter of choosing to see in the spiritual realm. Now, that's not always necessary. Sometimes angels present themselves in different ways. So we don't have to sometimes they'll present themselves so we don't have to rely on our spiritual senses. Let me give you a personal experience. I was attending my uncle's funeral in Louisiana in July 2000. I arrived at the funeral home early, and I was waiting in an area. There was a crowd of people who attended another funeral. So I was in a crowd of total strangers, okay? Nobody in the room knew me. So I thought. I was standing on the edge of the crowd, and a man and a woman approached me from the left side, and they started to walk past me, but when they got right in front of me, they stopped. And the woman was closer to me, and she turned and looked at me, and she smiled and said, "You're precious." Well, here again, I was in a crowd of total strangers, all right? And I assumed that she was confused about who I was. So she probably thought I was part of the other funeral party, you know, part of the family or whatever. You know, she's trying to console me or whatever. So thinking this was a case of mistaken identity, I responded, "I'm sorry, I don't think we've met." A real clever comeback, don't you think? Well, the woman extended her hand, and we shook hands, and then she responded, "I'm Angel, and you're precious." So I was a little confused. I was very confused, and I wasn't sure how to reply, so I said, well, thank you. May the Lord bless you. And with that, she turned, and the two of them walked away off towards my right, towards the exit. Well, I was puzzled and really intrigued by this experience, you know. I thought that Angel might have been the woman's given name or her nickname. I've heard of women named Angel. In fact, I've heard of guys named Angel, okay? And I've also was very aware that she did not include the word "an" when she said, "I'm Angel." There was definitely two syllables only, two counts. "I'm Angel," okay? So I was very much aware of this. And I was aware of the scripture that we looked at earlier in Hebrews that talked about people who have entertained angels without realizing it. So I was thinking, okay, was that just kind of a random exchange with a friendly and perhaps slightly wacky woman, you know? Was her name Angel? And did she just feel led to reassure a total stranger? Or did I have an encounter with a genuine angel? Okay, that's what's going through my mind, okay? A few days later, I got home back from the funeral trip, and I was recording the incident in my journal, and when I finished writing the account, I was thinking about the experience. I was still very intrigued by it, as you can imagine, and I believe Father spoke to me and said, "I sent her to speak to you." I said, "Oh, what was the purpose?" And he said, "Can I not reassure my people when I want to?" Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of course you can, and thank you. And then he said, "And yes, she was an angel." And I realized this is a very unusual experience. I believe Father confirmed to me that she was in fact an angel that he had sent to encourage me. And I sometimes still get misty-eyed thinking about this, because not because I met a real angel. No, that's not the issue here. But because Father sent her to reassure me. That's the point.
Yes. Yes.
Remember messenger? That's what they do.
Yes.
Now, I want you to understand something, too, that's significant to this scenario. I had never been close to that uncle. So I wasn't disturbed by his death. I wasn't or anything related to his funeral or anything like that, okay? I was very matter-of-fact about being there. In fact, I was really enjoying my visit with my cousins, okay? So it was almost like a family reunion rather than a funeral as far as I was concerned. I was feeling their grief, the loss of their father, but other than that, I was happy to see them again. I hadn't seen them for a long time. So this was not an unhappy or grieving experience for me, all right? But in that context, Father sent a messenger to tell me that I'm precious. And that's what touches me. Angels can take human form, as we've seen from the scriptures we've looked at. This one looked like a woman. She talked like a woman, acted like a woman. Her hand felt like a woman's hand. And if anything, I thought she wasn't particularly attractive, and she really wasn't even dressed up much. She looked very ordinary. The man with her was especially ordinary in appearance. He was not at all good looking. He was shorter than she was. He didn't smile or say anything, and he was just kind of there, okay? As I recall, he was built kind of like a fire hydrant. He didn't seem to have a neck. It looked like his head just kind of sat on his shoulders, and his arms hung straight down by his side. Mine don't do that very well, but his did. He just stood there with his hands down by his side and just facing straight forward. When they stopped in front of me, he kept looking in the direction they'd been walking, which is off to my right. And he and I had absolutely no interaction whatsoever. He didn't even acknowledge my presence. Okay, it was just the woman who turned towards me and talked. These two individuals looked extremely ordinary. There was absolutely nothing extraordinary about them. In fact, if she hadn't identified herself as Angel, I wouldn't have thought anything at all about this incident. I just would have, you know, nice but kind of wacky woman, okay, that's whatever. You know, I never would have thought anything about it. Nearly 6 years later, in early 2006, one morning during my quiet time with Father, I began thinking about this incident again. And I wondered whether I've had other encounters with angels in my life. And Father seemed to respond almost with a playfulness in his voice, "Maybe you have." Well, I agreed that it really wasn't important how many angels I've encountered. I was just kind of wondering. And then he simply said, 27.
Whoa!
Now, I couldn't imagine how that was possible, okay, because I don't interact with complete strangers very much. I don't interact with people I know very much. Certainly not with complete strangers. But Father says something to me, and I want you to listen very carefully, very closely to what I'm about to read. This is exactly what Father said to me, because I wrote it down as he spoke. "You will never know until you see your life from my perspective. I've had my agents in your life influencing you, helping you, protecting you. That's how we work. You really cannot separate the spiritual and physical realms." Now, I'm telling you this story not so you'll be impressed with my experience. No, that's not the point. I want you to have a sense of how closely related the spiritual and physical realms are, and how intimately Father is involved in every aspect of your life, every detail. Look, I know Father loves me. I know that he sent Jesus to die for me, and I am eternally grateful for that, believe me. But sending an angel just to reassure me how precious I am to him, that's special. And that's how special you are to him, too. Choose to sense the spiritual realm. Choose to to see, to hear, to feel the spiritual realm. Understand that God is watching over every detail of your life, everything that happens to you, everything you do. Choose to believe that He has assigned His angels to you to influence you, to help you, to protect you, to serve you. I am quite confident that you always have at least one angel, and all it takes is one.
Amen.
I mean, I read stories in the Old Testament like where an angel, where an army was surrounding Jerusalem, and one angel went out and killed 186,000 of them in one night.
Whoa! Oh.
It only takes one angel, okay?
Whoa.
It only takes one angel, and you always have at least one. And depending on your circumstances, I'm confident that God Father dispatches additional angels to serve you in your particular situation. Yes.
So are you saying you believe that everyone has a guardian angel?
If you want to call it a guardian angel, yes.
Do you think there's one with at least one all at all times with Christians?
I am quite confident of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Quite
I've never been in my mind made up about that.
Mm-hmm. I can understand why not, but I am confident of it. And it's not because of any experience that I've had, just that I'm seeing. Well, you think about how many angels there are, and how many people there are on this planet. You know, that's a pretty good ratio.
Whoa.
There. It's a pretty good ratio there. All right.
Yeah.
So I believe it's very possible, and I think knowing God's nature, He's given us His Holy Spirit to be united with our spirit continuously, and He's also dispatching angels to serve us in particular situations. Why not? And Jesus does make a comment. People were criticizing him for taking care of, you know, holding a little child in his hands. He says something to the effect, don't belittle this because their angels are always standing before the Father, which says that there is an angel affiliated with that young child. And did that happen? Did that stop when I grew up? I don't think so, because I'm still incompetent when it comes to spiritual matters. Believe me. Take my word for it. I am still incompetent when it comes to spiritual matters. So I need all the help I can get, and I welcome it. Okay? So I'm very confident. I saw a few hands fluttering back here. Yes?
I was just aware of the presence in the book. And it's driving me just a physical, you know, go to the room over even before. Just that whoosh to put back.
Yes.
Yes. There's setback
on. Your reference to demonic activity is talked about the principalities and powers. It seems to be a hierarchy.
Yes, there is.
Well, there could be just if there's that and from the angelic, you know, good side. Be, and even roles assigned to angels. When it comes in the Old Testament about
to Daniel, yes.
You know, whatever need this man of God had may have specifically addressed by God by a certain time to be.
Yes.
Let me bring this to a close so those of you who need to go to the next service can leave, okay? Let me pronounce a blessing over you. Please don't leave yet. May you become aware of the angels the Father has sent to minister to you. May you become aware of them. I'd like for you to fill in your daily review meditation card. Let the Holy Spirit give you additional insight about this material throughout the week. And you may leave quietly when you finish. The Lord bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week.
I look forward to this class every week.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.